get started. Welcome to the Yorkville Public Library Board of Trustees meeting. It's July 12th, 2021, 7 p.m. Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Schumacher?
Present.
Schimp?
Here.
Walter? Walter?
Here. Yes, sorry.
It's okay. Chacon?
Yes, here.
Crawford?
Here.
Forrestal?
Here.
Garcia?
Here.
Millen?
Here.
And Reifsteck is absent.
So, visitors, we have Judy from Friends. We have Tiffany from Friends and Company.
This is McKenna, future Friends. And this is Brielle, future Friends.
We have Dixie DeBoard from the library. This is Genevieve. Dixie? Mm-hmm. Nice to meet you.
This is our new hire. Yes. She's our director of adult services. She's my old job.
She sent an email today.
Yes.
Okay. She did.
And you guys got it.
Yeah.
That's good, too.
It's over there if you want. It's the agenda.
I'm fine. Oh, I'll get rid of the agenda.
Oh. We have Shelly, our director, and we have Jackie representing us from City. Okay. Are there any amendments to the agenda?
I was going to say we'll go for the energy, but the person is stuck in traffic. So they need very little energy down there.
Okay.
But I did also ask Shelley to add presentations right after amendments to the agenda on the template. So next time, any kind of presentation like this, we just go under that as opposed to making changes all the time.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. I guess if everybody could peruse the minutes, and we've had, this is from our last board meeting, also from our facilities committee meeting as well, and policy committee meeting.
Trustees meeting June 14th as presented. Facilities committee meeting Monday, June 21st as presented. And the policy committee meeting on Wednesday, June 30th as presented.
Second.
Kim?
Do you approve of the minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Walter?
Yes.
I was going to say here.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reifstech?
Yes.
And Schumacher?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll go on to correspondence. We have one letter. It says, Dear Shelley Augustine, thank you so much for following up with me in regards to the letter I delivered. I'm so excited that you already ordered some of the book suggestions. This happened much faster than I'd anticipated. Thank you for listening and for making equity, diversity, and inclusion priorities at the library. With appreciation, Rachel Englehart. Okay, thank you. And do we have any public comment?
Yes. Yeah. We had a Friends of the Library meeting this morning, and we're back to our pre-COVID attendance. Mm-hmm. We had 15 people, which is pretty much what we usually have. Didn't dwindle down to just Zoom for so long. We were happy to welcome Genevieve, the new Director of Adult Services. We also approved $800 for a pop-up library pending your approval, which Shelley will tell you about. So, I mean, we spend money like we haven't. And we also heard about the July 4th parade that some of us walked in. Darren walked in it, I walked in it, Shelley walked in it, Dixie walked in it. I mean, there were 26 people who walked in the parade, and we want at least 100 next year. We walked behind the brand new banner. It was beautiful, the one that Shelley ordered. So there were so many people, many more than I've seen at a July 4th parade. I mean, I couldn't believe how many people were there. So anyhow, it was great. We also had the grassroots team give us a little update on the things they're doing. They have some signs ready to go that include the QR code on it so that people can get in touch with our website. And they do have $300 in donations for the purchase of signs, so that will be happening soon, we think. Also, the book sale, we have outgrown this room. The tech services room is...
Filling up.
Rapidly filling up. I don't know what we're going to do for the next month. There were four of us that spent an hour and a half sorting through donated books. And they're just constantly... So many books that we can barely keep up, and I don't know where we're going to put them. But this year, as a result of that, the used book sale, and for those of you who have been here before, you know that we have, especially that Saturday morning, it is unbelievable the number of people we have. They will be lined up at the door all the way out to the sidewalk to get in. And this place is filled. But because we have so many more books, and because we are, you know, we understand the problems with COVID, we're going to have to use a couple of rooms. So it's not only going to be this room, which is always packed, it's going to be the hallway and tech services. So the library has offered that to us, and it's, I don't know, I hope we have enough room. You think, Dixie? I don't know. She sees all these books coming
in.
We have so many, it's amazing. Also, Tiffany will tell you about the Community Fest that the Friends and the library are working on together. And the Teen Intern Program. We just heard Graves about that today, where the teen, they're, what are they called?
Intern librarians.
They are reading to the kids in various drop-in times. So that has been a very, very big success. And then I also want to tell you about one of our members who passed away. And you may not know her name, but you would know her face if you saw her, Betty Popovich. She had been a member of the Friends since 2009. And even the last few years, when she could only get around with a walker, was going to dialysis and had all these problems, she would be here volunteering at every event we had. The book sale, the mini golf fundraiser, it didn't matter what we needed, Betty would be here. Her family knew how much she loved the library and the Friends of the Library, and they have asked for contributions to be made payable to the Friends of the Library, which we're very, very grateful to her for doing that. The Friends this morning voted for the money to purchase a brick for the courtyard, and it will be engraved, our special friend, and then with her name. And so Shelley takes care of those. I think she installs them too. Do you put them in there? No, she didn't. But Betty was very, very special, And her visitation hours will be Saturday, as will the service, and there'll be a notice, complete notice in the Kendall County. So, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have any staff comment?
Tiffany.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
She said, no, I'm not here, Aaron.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Community Fest.
No, I haven't. So I met with Shelly, Dixie, Genevieve, Cheryl,
and Jeanette.
On Friday. And we. Thanks. This is my
shadow.
Your shadow. She looks like Ryan, but she acts like me. We discussed kind of briefly the name, and we thought YPL Community Fest would be a good name. Community, just bringing and striking the relationship we have with the city, the community. They were better at that. And so it would be a great partnership to work with the school board, also the city, Parks and Rec. I know the Ice Cream Social is usually a free event. This would not be a free event. And what we would do is, September is the library card month. So it's also food for fine. So when people donate non-perishable items, they get that fee taken off their late fees. So if somebody owes $10, that's subtracted from their fees that they would owe. They've done this in the past, so it's just a continuation. We're also looking at some food trucks, and the food trucks would hopefully donate 10% of their sales to the YPL for programs and services. And then what we would like to do is provide a drawing for the attendees. So every station that somebody would stop at. Every station that somebody would visit, they would get a sticker or just like an initial, and then put their ticket in the raffle, and then we would do a raffle drawing at the end. And it could be anything. I was thinking maybe like a Taste of Yorkville, just kind of giving back to the community, working with the businesses and such, just bringing in business. You know, a lot of places, if they'll donate a $10 gift card, you're going to go in there and spend more than $10. So I just thought it would be a great way to kind of work together. Some of the things that we're doing would be Hicks Brothers, Merry Clowns, which they are clowns and they do balloon twisting and face painting. Characters for a Cause, and they are people dressed up in characters, Star Wars, princesses, etc. And they just walk around and just kind of keep everybody happy. We would do the Robotics Club from the high school, Story Walk, Art and Poetry, and Touch a Truck. Touch a Truck is really big right now with younger kids, not like I would know that or anything. But so we were thinking trucks, police, fire, ambulance, school bus, construction, garbage truck, just anything that kids see in the community. That way they're going to want to know more about that, and they're going to want to come into the library and read those books. Food trucks would be maybe Grandma Rosie's hot dog trucker stand, JB Munchies, Foxy's ice cream truck, etc. We want to utilize the whole library since we're going to be open during the library from 11 to 3. And again, just working with the city and the park district and the school, because we'd like to put the food and the trucks in the parking lot behind us, the high school area, so that way we could kind of keep all the food and everything outside of the library, because years past it's kind of messy. So we're just kind of thinking of that. And then I'll meet with Shelly later this week, and we'll go over and create a map and just give people an idea of what the stations are, the services, the programs, the times, and everything. And then it just kind of gives you an idea of some of the stations that we we mentioned the 3D printer ebooks, which I think is really important, people wanting to know more about the ebooks. And did you know, and also the FOL, I think it's important that people know who the FOL is. Since we work so closely with you guys, it's so important for people to understand that the Friends of the Library does do the fundraising for the programs and such. So that's pretty much it. Oh, and then on the back of it is a flyer. I just really created it really fast. If there's something wrong with it, you can blame Ryan. Because he proofed it. So, and it's just kind of like the bullet points. It was just something just to kind of grab your attention, just so you know what we're kind of thinking about.
And this
say yay or nay.
This will be instead of the ice cream social?
Yes.
Okay. And this is the same time that we did it before, correct? Have you contacted those different agencies or organizations that you said you work with?
I've emailed Mr. Shimp and also Mr. Purcell.
Okay.
So just waiting to get all that stuff back.
Okay. So we need to make a vote on this or decide on this? Or this is... Yeah. Okay, so it's just presented to us today.
Okay. Yeah, because I just wanted you guys to kind of have an idea.
Okay.
Just an FYI.
Yeah, and also it'd be great for you guys to volunteer too at the event. So, since it's such a community event, you know, it'd be great to see people.
Yes.
I just have one comment. Is there any way to put the Yorkville Public Library up here on
Yes.
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 Just okay. Okay.
Yeah. It was yeah.
My notes too.
Yeah. So, because I just did the YPL, just because a lot of people go YPL, yeah. But yeah, I just yeah.
And you know, just the FOL, since maybe you might want to spell out the Friends of the Library, just for people who don't know.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. It's really
good
cute.
Event. Thank you.
Sure.
Yep. Is there any other public comment? Okay. Staff comment? Okay. Can we have the report of the treasurer?
There's nothing too unexpected. I did notice we paid for the new voltage board, thank you, that we have approved last week.
So what did you pay for?
Pardon?
What did you say? I'm sorry.
RJ O'Neill.
Okay.
We paid for that before. So that check is going out.
Mm-hmm.
That check is for $3,972.35. That's on page 6 of 10. It's kind of hard to follow.
Yeah.
It could always be worse.
Mm-hmm. There was a voltage board.
Yeah.
There were two payrolls. One odd thing that I noticed is there are no utilities yet, and we haven't paid. I went back in our packets, and we haven't paid since March. But the bill that we have in here for NICOR says that it's for May 3rd through June 2nd. If that's on page 5 of 10. So, like, what happened to the NICOR bill between there? Are we going to get completely slammed, or is the state or
all the time?
So, yeah, we'll research that. And half of our property taxes have come in, which is normal for this time of year, but we'll get the rest of them in September, and then there will be a drought. Our development fees are up. We're at 17% of the year. We have 41% of our development fees.
One comment on the Comcast bill, which is on page 1.
Page 1?
Yeah.
All the way back to 1.
Our consultant doesn't think we've been getting all the e-rate reimbursement from Comcast that we should. So today I sent in 16 months worth of Comcast bills. He's going to go through and find out why we haven't been getting our rebates from E-rate.
For 6 months?
For, I think, since at least the last year. Yeah, it was last year, yeah, that I sent him. So,
then will we get that?
We should get some money back from Comcast. And this should be our last bill from them. We're done. I turned in the equipment to them. Their service is disconnected.
Okay.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we pay our bills for accounts payable of $24,263.02, and then for payroll of $34,073.80, for a total disbursement of $58,336.82.
Second. Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Reifstek?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
And Chimp? Thank you.
Can we have a report of the library director?
Sure. Let's see. So I'll start with our programming that. We have noticed a large increase in our foot traffic for 1 month. Dixie reads our door counts on the first of every month. So from May 1st to June 1st, our people counter was up 31%. And our program attendance, because we started back opening up the library to full programming mid-June, our program attendance is up 297% from last month.
Awesome.
Big increase. We also issued 134 new library cards from May 1st to June 1st, and June 1st started our summer reading program.
Wow.
So that number should be way up next month when I report to you again. So our summer reading program is in full swing. This month we are featuring weekly art programs for kids. We've started a crochet club here in the library. A staff member is running that for our children as well. Jeanette is doing a Candyland story walk during the month of July outside along the front of the library. Our 3D printing program is going to be run every Saturday in the children's workroom. We held a graduation ceremony for our Girls Who Code program. That was a 13-week Saturday morning Zoom program that Lameka's daughter had taught. And so they had a graduation here last month. She did a great job. We were very fortunate to have her do that program for us. The girls celebrated with a breakfast, and then they showcased some of their projects that they had created as well. Jeanette is running a Happy Campers escape room through the month of July. Families can come in to the escape room and try to solve the clues to find the missing guidebook. She has Heartland School coming in monthly now for a story time that she's doing. Let's see, our adult program, we've partnered with the Illinois Humanities Council this month to bring a food historian in to speak on the history of corn and how it transformed America. So that was a real affordable program that one of our staff members had found for us. And it's, no, that one's not sponsored by the Friends, I'm sorry. Wednesday, we are having two Medicare Basics seminars here in the library in this room. One will be at 10:30, and the other will be at 5:30. So open enrollment starts in October, I believe. So we usually hold these seminars every year to inform people on the basics of Medicare and how to sign up for it as well. We are happy to welcome back our movie program here at the library. We didn't do it because of COVID, so now we are back to doing kids' movies and adult movies once a month. So I had a nice turnout for that. I had a little groupie following. Started before that COVID shut us down, so they're glad to be back for that. And like Tiffany said, we had met to start to plan for the family event in September. Judy had mentioned our 4th of July parade, so I won't go through that again, but I will thank Darren's daughter for organizing this event, so big shout out to her for that. We did distribute candies, brochures of our services, pens, and bookmarks throughout the parade. So if we do that again next year, that we can certainly do that as well. We've booked this room for a town hall meeting with Illinois House Representative Dave Weltner's office in August. They've reached out to us to hold the town hall here on August 16th. And then the following day, we are doing a blood drive with the Chamber of Commerce in here as well. I submitted June 15th the completed IPLA report. That's the annual Illinois Public Annual Report to the state. And we also received our per capita grant award letter for FY 2021 in the amount of just under $25,000 that should be coming back to us. Last year, I believe it was $21,500. So it's a good increase for this last fiscal year. Our circulation department has been reviewing our expired cards in our system and removing them. So we removed 796 cards that were over a year old and expired. We have to pay for membership through Prairie Cat, so we want to keep our database clean with updated cards. So they went ahead and did that removal for us. Library operations, as Susan said, we had R.G. O'Neill here to service our chiller and to replace a compressor computer board part that was an original piece that they had to get from the manufacturer and have it overnighted here. So we were down to half of our
Available comfort cooling.
Yeah.
It feels good today.
Yeah. Well, this one's separate. This is a different unit from the other room. But they came back out as soon as it was available, and they had us up running at full capacity again. They did come and clean the cottonwood from our chiller because the cottonwood around here clogs our chiller. So they came out and cleaned that as well. They will be out on Wednesday to do a summer preventative maintenance that we do. Let's see here. Ryan, I gave Ryan a list of building maintenance issues, large and small, that I'm sure he will talk about. And July 1st, we switched over to Metronet for our internet and phone service. Russ had been instrumental in making this transition as smooth as possible. We were down with our phones for about a day and a half. We were experiencing a little bit of technical difficulties going from hardwired phones to internet phone service. So that seems to have been worked out. Our TCG Solutions is the vendor that installed this, and he still has a bit of a checklist that needs to be completed, so I'll follow up with him this week on that. I reached out to the city to have our water fountain lines flushed and put back in service. I received an email from Rails saying that the state said that the water fountains could be put back into service. So I reached out to the city, and they came over right away and had that done for us. Let's see. We will be investigating the possibility of expanding library hours, operating hours. We have to look closely at the budget, the time of days maybe for expansion and staff. I know that was part of a discussion during the Community Relations Committee. Someone had asked about that, so we will look into that. We do have many of our users are elderly and parents with small and young children that usually are here right away in the morning. I mean, We don't open until 10, so it's an easy transition to switch to opening at 9 as well. So we'll look into that. We welcomed our new Director of Adult Services, Genevieve. She is a great addition for our library and brings skills and services that we haven't had here before, so we're very excited to have her with us. And lastly, oh no, wait, I have a couple more things. I'm continuing with my Director of University classes on Fridays, and those are going until October. So we've discussed emergency planning, building and maintenance, and FOIA and OMA as well. And lastly, I want to talk to you guys about an idea that Dixie had. It's a great idea. Pop-up library. We want to provide our library services out into the community. I talked to the Friends today about this, and they have agreed with your approval of financing this proposal we have. We would like to purchase a 10 by 10 pop-up tent, and we can use that to go to festivals, events, out into the community, into areas that maybe people don't from the library don't come to the library. We'll bring it to them. We'd like to bring books, so we're going to need carts, portable carts for that. We have folding tables. We have our laptop, and we want to get a hotspot so we can sign people up for a library card right there, and they can check out some of the books that we have brought to them, maybe show them how to download ebooks as well. So we would like to do this once. We're going to try out once a week for about 2 hours, and we would send a full-time person and a part-time staff person to man the tent and to travel to these places. So overall, the Friends have agreed, pending your approval, to finance this endeavor for not to exceed $800.
How will you determine where the pop-up libraries will be at?
We would have to look at what events are going on throughout the community. Maybe reach out, obviously, to the city. What do they have going on? If the school has something going on. If there are subdivisions that have events or not.
Okay. Yeah.
Does anybody have any questions about it?
Did you check into grants and their requirements for their firewall about reaching rails, reaching the catalog?
I have not, but I know Cheryl's been able to do download Sierra from home and work. When we were shut down for COVID,
yeah,
she was able to do that. I did reach out to the Parks and Rec and ask them about their hotspots because I don't really know a lot about them, mm-hmm. so I wanted to just find out some more. So you can purchase a hotspot, mm-hmm. but you also have to have a data plan to go with that hotspot.
Okay.
The Parks and Rec said that they have two hotspots that they use, and they use it through the city's plan, which is Verizon. And he actually offered to let us test theirs out if we would like before purchasing anything.
That sounds good.
Right. Mm-hmm. So,
I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's community again. Community engagement.
Mm-hmm. Dixie also thought of magnetic signs to put on our cars too.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. For sure, because if you're going out driving to a location, you're promoting the library as well.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
So
do we need to
vote?
There's a motion.
The Friends were going to finance that. What entails that fund? What are you financing?
Sure. It is a tent. So the tent is around $270. Six square plastic tote bins. They're in the kind of like luggage. And those can also be used for seats too. That was $220. and then we put $250 for a hotspot just because we didn't know, and $50 for the magnetic signs.
Were there books left over from the book sale ever?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about giving some of those out, like just for free, with the pop-up?
That's a good idea. Yeah. I get what's called advanced reader copies from our book distributor that they send to libraries to promote. But you can't put them in your book sale, and you cannot put them in your collection. So I'm always passing those out to people as well. That's a good idea as well.
You know, from the book sale, we do have books left over. We will have an after the book sale. Everything's half price, but also we donate them books to the nursing homes, senior centers, the jail. I can't think of all the other places. We try to donate as many as we can, and then the rest would go to Goodwill. But by that time, there's not that many left.
Jeanette has created a read and return as well. Yes. She's done that at the laundromat and at the food pantry too.
So do we have a lot of those advanced reader copies that we get in or not?
You know what? Because of COVID, I haven't gotten a lot. Because I gave them away during National Library Week.
Okay.
I had over 100. So
I'm just thinking that what if you do one of these pop-up events and someone wants a book or can't get the library card or something like that, will we have something that will still entice them to be a part of the conference?
That's a good idea. Yeah.
When do you want to, what is your target start date for this?
I would think at least by September.
Our first one would probably be hometown days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We would hope to have a tent over there. Mm-hmm. Send people this way.
As far as voting on it, as long as the friends were going to fund it, pay for it,
we don't have to vote on it.
We just have to say,
good job. Good job. Thank you for the innovation. Mm-hmm. Creative idea, Dixie.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Very good idea. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Outside the box.
Yep.
I believe that's all I have.
Okay. Right. Anything from the city? Liaison?
No.
Okay. Welcome, Jackie.
Keep us in mind when you have the discussions on the solar stuff, if they're wanting to put solar panels on our roof, because we do have some concerns about that.
Like weight. We just need to know whether or not the roof can support something like that.
And heat. Mm-hmm. Generate a lot of heat underneath.
Good to know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Karen knows all about that.
So if there is discussion about it.
It'd be interesting. They keep talking about how they want to take over baseball fields.
How?
The guy was like, "Oh, we could take over a baseball field." I'm like, "No." I don't think it's a whole thing of it.
Knock out a panel, home run.
No, that would be the baseball.
Oh, okay. That's right. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not.
That's
good. No. That's not. I don't think we need it that bad.
Yeah. Okay. All right, standing committees then. So we've had a few that have met. We've had policy, fiscal facilities, and community relations. So I guess let's start with community relations.
Yes, we had July 7th, we had a good meeting where we had 25 people show up. Very positive. They very attentive. They like the idea. I think it was Judy's husband, they came up with the idea of in 2025, when our bonds are paid for, perhaps we could put out a referendum to keep some of that bond repayment, mm-hmm. debt repayment levy as operation fund. We probably wouldn't, because since it almost doubles what we get,
mm-hmm.
Yes, granted, it would pay for money to become a district, but we probably don't need all of that. So even if we just use it to fund some of the repairs we're going to need in the future, like a new chiller maybe, things like that. Yeah. There was also somebody made reference to the Aurora Library, where the city was very instrumental in helping them become a district with a funding option from the city. But yes, it was a very good meeting. We had a lot of good feedback.
Good. All right. Let's talk about physical facilities, right?
So we had a meeting back on the 21st. So I know one big topic in our meeting was the parking lot resurfacing, which I know, Shelley, you mentioned that we are on the list, so that should be something that gets taken care of relatively soon, hopefully. We talked about the cameras and kind of went through a list of priorities. And since the meeting, Shelley, you've kind of helped me with kind of your top five. So that was the parking lot was number one, cameras, getting the carpets cleaned in the building, window washing, and the pressure washing, the patio, and the courtyard. I think there was mention of some spiders.
Yeah, it's really
get rid of those. So
those are,
it's like an infestation.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. So I do think we want to get just for planning purposes, just identifying what activities are every year, twice a year, every 2 years, and I think we can just kind of look at the dollars, and that will be helpful with your input. And actually, Dixie, I used the list you gave me to kind of create an Excel sheet. So that was very detailed and helpful. So appreciate that.
So part of the list with maybe 5A is pointing that wall out there.
That was, I did start to update that list. And I think that maybe with the parking lot seems to be moving forward, we kind of moved that tuck pointing and definitely that one stone that's loose. I think it's almost like a seating.
Yeah, people sit on it all the time.
Yeah.
In the front. I don't know what happened. That's right in the front, the first one as you're walking out the door. Mm-hmm. Might have gotten hit. I think they're too heavy for somebody to have knocked it off. May have gotten hit with a snowplow, snowblower, or something. But you can see that it's not sitting on there right, so it has to be reseated and resealed to the wall. And if you look at all the seams around, they're all cracked. So they're letting a lot of water down into the wall. Does the city have a mason? Bricklayer?
Bricklayer,
I heard. Yeah. That's
her garden
house. Oh. Maybe when you talk about it, when you ask Eric,
I have a request, Ryan, that you move up on your list the hole where an up light for the flag was. That hole has been there for over 3 or 4 years now. So we really don't care if it gets filled in or fixed. But the hole is unacceptable.
That's where the bucket is?
That's where the smoker is sitting on top of.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, we did. That was, I think, one of the items we highlighted.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, those lights on the ground there have been a problem since day one. Or snow, I should say, winter one.
Those, I mean, any electrical in the ground.
Yeah.
Generally, yes. Okay, yeah, we will. I guess we need to get a plan.
So speaking of cameras, Sue, I believe you said that the high school is looking at getting a camera system or updating their system, and that there's a possibility maybe we could talk to the school district to see if maybe we could come into some agreement. Maybe might make things a little cheaper per camera.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So who do
I have that email too, but I haven't reached out to him yet.
Okay. So who is it that we talked to?
Ryan Adkins.
Okay. That's in the email, I believe.
That's in the email.
Yeah,
okay.
All right. I will
reach out to him.
Okay. Yeah, we should do that.
I mean, I feel like anything we can partner with the school district on, mm-hmm. they would be more than willing to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's a great opportunity. If it works, perfect.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're updating. They have retired police officers as security. They offered to come and look and see if they like the placement of the cameras or what could be done differently.
Yeah. Yeah, so. that could help out a lot.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah. Physical walking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. I like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. So, anything else, Ryan?
Just one note, as Shirley mentioned with the cameras, the first floor, if we were looking to face this, that the first floor was really the priority, okay. I think, for the library, so that would be a good place to start, you know, looking at the views, and I think that's a great idea, bringing in some experts to look for blind spots. I work with a lot of camera people, security guys, they kind of know what are potential blind spots that we might not see, and that'd be helpful, especially with schools. They know them best. That's excellent.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so policy.
We had two meetings on June 30th and on July 7th. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if everyone had the opportunity to look at the policy, but we did not have a tutoring policy before. And so it's in your packet, and we will be voting on it. So if you have an opportunity as we go through the meeting, the policy is in here, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
the last page. We will be voting on this policy to adopt it because we don't currently have one. Mm-hmm. And so you guys can look over that. We get on the new business, we'll vote.
Okay. All right, so anything else on policy?
Nope, that's all.
Okay. So let's go to unfinished business. I know we already talked about some of this on community relations, but the library district discussion, is there any more?
Not really.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to leaf filter gutter covers proposal.
There's a letter in your packet from my Father Mike. I was asked to get some references. This is the only person that was able to, they were able to supply us with. There's a number from Jack. They were very private about who they release references from, and had nothing but good things to say about Jack and Leaf Filter. They got the job done, cleaned up after themselves. They were very pleased with the job.
Okay.
And I definitely think this is something we need to put on the library.
Okay.
To keep our gutters clean.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to make a motion that we found places where we can pay for this in our existing budget.
Yes.
Pulling a little bit from here and a little bit from there. But I think it's an opportunity that we're in the long run will save us money. Mm-hmm. With all the cleaning of the gutters and everything that overflow the gutters cost. So I'll make a motion that we approve the leaf filter proposal for $23,829.
Is it possible to defer this? I guess that given some new considerations, I think we have some other things that need to be addressed on the outside of the building.
We could.
Before we do that?
You want to defer it to next month?
Talk about some of the other facilities.
Yeah, I think we need to regroup on the masonry concerns me, the flagpole light, just some of the other items that have come up since we met.
as a board.
I'm good for deferring it, and I mean, there's still, if we ended up going with it, it's, we still have a little bit of time.
So are you trying to do this before the winter?
The idea is to get it in before winter. Mm-hmm.
But
I think that the hazard, the safety things, I mean, this is safety as well, but this brick, is it the one that's out by the...
Yeah. It would take a pretty strong guy to move it. I think Ryan tried to move it and couldn't.
There's also a tile out there that's loose too, right? Is there one of the pavement tiles? I thought there was one of them.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a few things. Mm-hmm.
As the facilities, what is the priority right now? Besides, you said you're going to defer this, and what you want to focus on the things and the items that Dixie had given you, provided to us to work on?
I think with Shelly and Dixie. Mm-hmm.
Should be handled those.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was aware of the light, but then I looked at it. I thought it was okay, and then I learned that the cigarette thing was
holding
another one. So.
And that's not good. That's a hazard.
Not if it's been 3 or 4 years.
And I realized this was after we discussed at the facilities meeting, but I think that.
Can we revisit it in a couple of months?
Yep, I'll withdraw my motion again.
Okay, so can we revisit it again in October?
Yeah, October.
Mm-hmm. 3 months. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cicerco HVAC control system.
Well, we've got the PC for that. That came in today. I'll set it up hopefully tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm meeting with them on Wednesday morning to go over the lighting system, and I'll let them know that the PC is here and ready to go, if it is ready to go. Mm-hmm. So we'll get that installed.
Excellent.
That's good. It'll be up to date.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to new business. Verde Energy Lighting Proposal.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
How much time do I have?
As much as you want.
Really? I'll try to do 15 minutes. I'm going to pass around my card. And if you guys have questions, thank you. Please email me your questions after. So I don't want to keep us here all night, but I do want to answer everyone's questions. So, who has heard of the ComEd Energy Efficiency Programs? Yeah? Okay, so my name is Elisa. I'm from Verde Energy Efficiency Experts. We're one of the ComEd contractors. So, essentially what that means is we come in, we do an energy efficiency, thank you. We do an energy efficiency assessment of the building. We typically work with libraries, fire stations, villages, places that have the lights on all day, a lot of hours. There's a lot of opportunity to save energy in places like libraries, for example. So we come in and do an assessment, and then we run the numbers based on what you have existing to what we could install to make you more energy efficient. And that's basically what I have today is a proposal to share with you guys on what it would look like for the library to become more energy efficient. So when we're talking about energy efficiency, we're looking at, obviously, lighting and HVAC are the two biggest components of energy efficiency or energy usage of a building. So this time around, we're only talking about lighting replacements. So what it would look like to take these fluorescent lights to LED lights. And basically, I'm not sure if you've looked at your ComEd bill at home recently, but there's a couple line items. One of those line item taxes is for the energy efficiency program. And every month we pay into it, and it pools into a fund of like $400 million a year. And ComEd is state mandated by law to use that money for energy efficiency upgrades for public sector buildings, nonprofits, small businesses, So if you guys know any small businesses that could use an upgrade, you can contact a Comet contractor to do the same thing that I've done here.
Kind of like E-Ray for the
last. Yeah, I was going
to say that. Yeah, except for you don't have to wait for the rebates to come back like 10 weeks later. You don't have to worry about that part.
Nope.
So basically, I'll pass around the proposal so we can look at it. I don't have enough for everyone.
We can share.
Yeah, you guys can share. Again, we are one of the Comet contractors. What makes us different from the other Comet contractors is that we've worked with the most libraries and public sector buildings. But also, we are an L3C, which is a mission-based company. So kind of between for-profit and non-profit, our mission is based around sustainability. So we reduce energy usage in the Chicagoland area. We're all environmentalists. We all care a whole lot about sustainability and making positive impact on the community and the environment. Our closest clients to here are Oswego Park District, Oswego Fire Protection District. So if you guys know the chief there at the Fire Protection District, you can reach out about us. But I know there's a ton of references that Shelley has compiled in this packet as well about who we've worked with, what libraries we've worked with specifically, and what their comments are about working with us. But as you can see here, we've got, if you want to, well, let's go to the good stuff. Let's go to the investment page. So that would be the pricing blocks at the end, so the second to last pages. So we've broken down these projects into phases. So a proposed phase one would be the interior fluorescent tubes to LED tubes. When we replace the tubes, we always replace the guts of the fixtures, so the ballast will always come out and the new driver will always come in its place. We actually can't claim any Comet incentive without doing the ballast to driver replacement. Prevailing wage is included, 3-year warranty, 5-year warranty from Philips as well. Everything we're using is Philips lighting. Part of our mission is to make sure our products last the longest, and we found that Philips lighting does that job. So for phase one, we would be looking at an investment around $20,000, including prevailing wage and everything, installation, products, materials, lifts. So that would be for the interior, for all the tubes. So everywhere, these are all tubes, if you guys are wondering what I'm talking about.
And this, the entire library?
Yeah, for all the tubes in the whole library. So that would be like hundreds of light fixtures in the proposed phase one. The second proposed phase would be for the exterior lighting. And this one's a little bit more cost effective. It's a quicker payback. I think it's the lowest hanging fruit. It typically is the lowest hanging fruit, the exterior lighting. So we'd be looking at an investment of around $4,500 for that exterior. There's pole lights, there's canopy lights, there's wall packs, there's wall end lights, there's all sorts of lights outside. And where it says utility incentives, those are the Comet incentives, yeah. So you don't have to worry about the before cost, you only have to worry about the after cost. When it comes to, I'll talk about the other things below, but we really want to focus on the first two phases. Those are the only thing I'm really concerned about right now, because that's where the savings are, that's where your return on investment is. We can talk about the emergency drivers another time. Those are kind of an optional investment that you guys can consider. But the payback on these, I know the city pays for the electricity here. I know the library doesn't.
with their franchise agreement.
Oh, got it. Okay, yeah. So even though you have a franchise agreement, the taxpayers still indirectly benefit right. from it. So that's but good to know that you guys have a franchise agreement. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the savings are about a 3.5-year payback. So in terms of what you guys are going to be saving. So let's say you did all phases on this proposal. You would be saving $10,000 a year for the library. That's equivalent to planting about over 1,000 trees. And that's equivalent to 91,000 kilowatt hours, if anyone cares about that part. So yeah, do you have any questions for me? I know that was like a lot.
This is based on an assessment that you've already
yes. conducted? Yes. So we've gone through the whole building, taking count of every single light fixture in this building, every little nook and cranny, every closet, every exit yeah. sign, everything is accounted for. So this would need to do everything. Like I said, the return on investment or the feedback is 3.5 years. I can look more into the franchise agreement to get a more accurate calculation on the savings, but since you don't necessarily pay for the electricity to begin with, I find libraries, when I do these presentations, care more about the impact, the environmental impact, than the dollar amount savings, since it is such a huge impact on the environment. It's such a good example for the children who are wondering if we're going to do something for their future. So,
district investigations, we kind of prorated what our electric bill would be if we weren't.
Sure.
Because being a city library, we're part of the franchise. If we become a district, we wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And we guesstimated that our educated guesstimation would be about $60,000 a year.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So, yeah, if you do become a district, then it yeah. will be a consideration.
Right.
And year over year, the cost of electricity will go up. So your savings are only going to sort of magnify over the years. These lights are meant to last from 15 to 20 years based on your hours of operation here. So I always think it's a good investment, especially if the payback is less than 5 years for a building that's going to be around as long as this building will be. It's a pretty good investment. Yeah, not
complicated. I have a question.
Yeah.
So do you know how many hours the fixtures should last? So you said 15 to 20 years.
Yeah. So it
depends on the hours of the building.
It's about 70,000 to 100,000 hours. And the hours of operation here are about 60 hours a week, so that's how we calculate that. Any other questions? Any comments? Does it sound like a lot?
Your warranty, so you said 5 years, is that parts and labor both?
Yeah, yep. Material and labor. So that's 3 years from us and then 5 years from Philips manufacturer warranty. So a couple things on timeline, if you guys are curious. August, there's going to be another price increase among all the vendors based on the supply chain crisis. So the prices are already increased July 1st, will increase again 6% August 1st. So it's just going to keep getting more expensive to do any sort of materials construction. Not that this is considered construction, it's more of a retrofit. And then in October, the ComEd program starts over again. So these incentives are set in stone for right now until October. And then October, we have no idea if it's going to go up, if it's going to go down. They had somewhat of a budget crisis this year in terms of these programs, so I wouldn't be surprised if they decreased the incentives. They've done it before. They say year over year, they want to decrease the incentive for LED conversion, and they want to increase it for things like building automation, building energy management systems, which sounds like you guys are getting a control system, which is great, and like solar. So again, if you're thinking of getting solar panels,
the city is thinking about
solar parks. LED always comes first before solar, so if that's a consideration, then you have to have LED first. So,
I totaled up all these phases, it comes up to $87,000.
Well, I personally do not recommend doing the last phase, which is the emergency drivers. That is, like, personally, my recommendation is to ask the fire marshal to check and see if there is a need for these EM drivers. And if you can go.
What are the
emergency fixtures that stay
lights
on? Yeah. No, the
lights that stay on.
The lights that stay on no matter what. Those are extremely, extremely expensive. Yeah. And if you can switch to those, it's the same effect, the ones with the double-headed lights over there.
Spotlights. Yeah.
Those give the same effect, and if you can get enough of those, you might be able to get rid of the EM drivers and the EM ballasts. But that's not my forte. That would be a fire marshal that would have to do that.
So we're down to about $60,000.
So yes. When the library's not in usage, when the library's not in usage, so we've closed down for the night, say, what is the percentage of lights that have to remain on that are always on?
So I usually see in libraries about 15% is the estimated amount of lights that are on. If you don't have a backup generator, which if you had a backup generator, you would need the emergency lights. But since you don't have that, you need the emergency lights. And like I said, about 15% of fixtures are usually on all the time and have the emergency ballasts. But that's just an estimate. I can't tell unless we open up the fixture which ones are emergency, which ones aren't. Yeah.
On your pricing,
yeah,
it says total price and then it says utility incentives. Are those guaranteed, those numbers?
Until October, yeah.
And you said it goes up 6%.
Okay. Yeah, in August the price will go up about 6%. I can hold this pricing for you as long as I can, until October. But after October, I have no idea what's going to change. So. And you'll also notice for the last phase, there's no utility incentives for just the drivers. So my recommendation would either be that fire marshal route, get someone out here and check if they're necessary, you can add more of those. And then the second recommendation would be as they go out, replace them. Because they're so expensive, you might as well just wait until they go out. To answer your question,
I didn't see that there were two quotes on here from about the same price.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, I am looking at roughly 35 for the total cost. Because remember, you don't have to look at the total price; you have to look at the price after incentive.
Right. That's what I was told.
Yeah. So without the last phase.
Without like, the drivers.
Yeah.
Without the EM drivers.
Yeah.
How much was that again? Did you come up with
35 for the three exterior.
So say during a brownout, or say we have a surge from some outage, whatever, and we lose some lights. What is the guarantee of replacement?
So that's what the driver is for. It protects the light from a surge. A lot of contractors I've seen this happen before. Some libraries go direct wire from the bulb to the wire without any ballast. They take out the ballast. ComEd actually doesn't give incentive for that because it's dangerous, and if there were a surge, then the bulb would not be protected and you would basically lose everything.
We do have a couple of building search presses that we just replaced mm-hmm. that are hooked up to the electric service.
Yeah. So the driver, in effect, will prevent that from happening.
Right. Now, brownouts are very, very detrimental to LEDs because once you drop the voltage, you can blow out an LED. And so over time, you can lose LEDs. What is the number of LEDs in a fixture that you'd say you'd be willing to replace? So if we say you had an LED right here, one bar, and 10 of the LEDs were missing out of, say, 30, is that, would you say that's
so my good for replacement? Is that we don't change the voltage at all going to LEDs. They're compatible with the existing voltage. So
right, but a brownout always drops the voltage. That's what I'm saying, is that then your LEDs, by the nature of an LED, if the voltage is incorrect, you can actually burn out the LED.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I have never seen that happen to any of our like hundreds and hundreds of clients, but like if it did, we can put something in writing mm-hmm. about like what we could guarantee you there. Mm-hmm. That's a concern.
Are these dimmable LEDs?
They are.
Okay, yeah. So then actually they can take a brownout.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions?
If they're dimmable, but you don't have dimmable switches, do you have to switch out all the switches then too?
So yes and no. If you don't have a dimmable system existing, it would be a little bit complicated to create a dimmable system. But we could, I have to look into that more. I'm sorry, I can't answer it right off the bat. But yeah, I don't think it's just as easy as putting in a dimmable switch. Yeah.
We don't have a dimmable system.
There are like a lot of fancy technologies from Philips where you could get bulbs that are wireless compatible and you could dim them from your computer and stuff. I proposed that to Evanston Library recently, so we'll see how that goes.
There's a fee for that.
Yeah. The only thing we have a lot of motion detector switches.
Yeah.
So when you walk, like in the bathrooms,
yeah.
you walk in, the lights come on.
Yeah.
You're in there too long and
don't move. Yeah, we've learned where not to install those motion sensors and where to install them. And we get mixed feedback about bathrooms.
Yeah.
Some people like them, some people don't. So.
Do we have any other questions to her?
I guess if we're looking in the utility, does it cost the library anything? Mm-hmm. What would be the benefit to the library to spend $60,000 to upgrade a system that seems to be working? I mean, if they wanted to upgrade, maybe talk to the city that's paying it, or what? I don't know what the franchise fee is. I don't know what would be the benefit to the library to spend this kind of money.
Sure. Well, first of all, my opinion is, the library is the center of the community and sort of owes it to the community to do things that are about sustainability and making the environment a better place. So that's the first thing. But as Wes mentioned, if you do become a district, you will be spending around $60,000 a year on electricity.
That's assuming...
Sure.
You become a district.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's another thing.
Okay.
But also maintenance on the bulbs. Like, you're already spending a certain amount on replacing the bulbs and the ballasts as they go out. So either you take advantage of the ComEd incentives and you do it all at once, or you just replace them one by one, which is less cost effective over time.
Okay. Thank you.
Shelley had it open.
$38.91.
Yeah, $38.91. Point two more. Yeah. So it depends on if you want to make the investment this ComEd program year or next ComEd program year. So
I think that's something that we have to discuss as a board.
Yeah.
I mean, this gives us an idea. Because I know we talked about this probably a year ago, I want to say, about changing over. And so it's something we have on the board, so it's something for us to discuss with.
Russ, are these the original ballasts?
I would assume, yes.
Yep. Yeah, they're probably coming up on
these are probably from the 80s.
Yeah. So they're coming up on their lifetime. I've heard a lot of buzzing noises, a lot of flickering noises. Flickering, buzzing, yeah. So that's just indication that they're coming up on the end of their life. So it's going to need to be replaced anyway. So yeah.
And I think that's where we begun to do the research, because we know that it was coming up and we don't want to have to spend a lot of money on bulbs and try to be more effective in our
energy. And it's a new home. I mean, yeah. LEDs are
more
people are expecting now.
Yeah.
Buildings.
So they're not good. We usually put 4,000 Kelvin in libraries. That's typically what is requested. So more of a white light rather than a yellow light. It's a more modern look, as you said. So LEDs don't flicker, they don't buzz, and they don't contain mercury like fluorescents do. So I know libraries have a lot of up lighting, but you do have a lot of down lighting, and if any of those bulbs were to shatter, like, it's toxic waste. So it is about safety as well, so.
They're part of this program, they recycle these bulbs?
Yeah, we recycle them in Chicago locally. Our owner, our founder, he was a firefighter, so he's really concerned with safety, and we have a lot of part-time firefighters on our staff as well in our crew. Something else that sets us apart from the other ComEd contractors is that we have a crew in-house, so we don't subcontract the workout. So the same people who will be installing will be the same people to come out and do maintenance. Yeah.
Back in 2007, I asked the question about building a green building to our architect, and at that time, the LED technology wasn't what it is now, and it was extremely expensive to build a new building as a green building, so we opted not to do it that way, because it was a huge cost. Yes.
I have another question. Do we know what we spend annually on replacing light bulbs?
Do we know what we spend annually?
What is our cost of light bulbs?
How much do we spend on lights?
For ballasts.
You might want to do that.
Just their purling.
Right, but you come on. She's only been a couple of. She's like, I'm good. So I think this is something that you have to continue to discuss with the board. We're glad to have the proposal, but this is something that we talked about over a year ago, because we know the time is coming up on these lights that we have now. And so I like what Rosie said about finding out how much it costs right now on the bulbs, and then I guess we can continue the discussion with the board members on where we can go and what we plan to do with this proposal.
Thank you, everyone. Oh, yeah. I didn't realize it was going to take an hour and a half.
Oh, yes.
But it usually takes me an hour to get here. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
So we're good.
Okay.
Yes.
So.
How can you use this?
No, I'm not sure. Okay.
Okay, so is there any other discussion you want to have about this right now? Or we can still continue discussing this. Because I know the franchise agreement, we don't pay.
We pay $85,000 a year for our liquor costs.
Right.
As far as, like you said, as a community leader, we should be, becoming more efficient at what we do. If we can be more efficient, we can even reduce that $5,000 that we pay, or whatever it is, even lower.
Well, as she said, the biggest bang for the buck essentially is going to be if you do the exterior lighting.
Yeah.
That's where you get your biggest payoff.
I'll comment on that. in our complex, we did that. We did the exterior lights, and we switched it out. There's actually a company locally in Yorkville that does that, mm-hmm. and we used them. And I want to say, I don't remember exactly. It was a while ago. The upside to worrying about the parking lot, those are the hardest ones to change if they go out. Mm-hmm. You've got to get the lift. There's a lot of work involved in that. Internally, you know, inside the building, it's a lot easier than mm-hmm. worrying about a parking lot. But our parking lot lights, they are on probably 10 hours a day. And I don't think anyone's had to go out and change those at all. So as far as doing the exterior lights, there could be a benefit to that. We did get the benefit. I think the way that our benefit came was in the purchasing of the bulbs that went into them. There were rebates on those bulbs, and that's how we benefited. We still had to pay for the service, mm-hmm. but we benefited from the rebates on all the bulbs.
And you said it's a local?
I'll have to look up the name of the company. And honestly, I think with the amount of money involved in this, mm-hmm. if it's something to consider, mm-hmm. I think we should get additional bids. I don't think mm-hmm. that this is sufficient. I appreciate it. I read all the comments that you got back from other libraries, so that was good.
That's good, too.
But overall, I think with all the things that have to happen, I think we need to figure out a priority.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Our building is old, and so we're just trying to do a lot of preventive, you know, with the chiller.
A lot of preventive maintenance.
And not that it's not, you know, sustainability is important, but at the same time, we have a responsibility to...
We have to be responsible.
Yes.
We're responsible with the tax
money. Fiscal responsibility. Mm-hmm.
So it's a franchise agreement with the city then? So mm-hmm. the city's paying the tab. So I think this would be a conversation to have with the city as well.
No, I agree.
That's mm-hmm. where I'm confused with. Where if we
the
spend
franchise
the
agreement includes a certain amount of electricity to run streetlights, stoplights, public areas, that are unmetered, really. Whatever's left over of the amount of electricity gets distributed through city buildings like City Hall, Public Works, the water towers, or everything that is needed. Whatever's left over, the library benefits from. So that's how that is distributed. So it's ratepayers that are paying for what we get. It's not really a tax. It's, you know, one of the items on your electric bill is a franchise. I think there's a franchise line item with a lot of money in it, and that's what that's for.
Russ, so the money we get from this franchise agreement,
yes.
Is that consistent usually every year, or are we like the last in line?
We don't really get money. We just don't get a bill.
We get less of a bill.
Yeah.
We get a monthly comment statement mm-hmm. that states how many kilowatt hours that we've used and the cost that it would be. And then it's zeroed out.
Right.
Can we do a yearly? Would you be able to, do we have bills for the year?
We keep the bills, yeah.
Can we do a year to see how much?
We've done that already.
Yeah,
I guess my thought was with the new building the city's going to occupy, is that going to take more of this pool of money?
I don't know.
Where if we didn't have anything left, that would be unfortunate for us.
Okay.
I didn't know how that worked, but yeah. I know comment billing is a nightmare.
So that's something that we need to follow up with the city and understand.
Yeah.
I think you did. Mm-hmm. So we're ending with the follow up with the city?
Yeah, I think that's what we need to do. We need to talk to the city about
how it actually works.
How this franchise is going to work.
Franchise agreement. Mm-hmm. And then we can come back next month if you guys are planning to do that.
If our bill went up $10,000, because this would pay as far as we can figure the payback, but right now the payback's terrible.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But if the power bill went up $10,000, which it could,
has the city looked into the power utilization of the new building that you know?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
So yeah, you guys can have a discussion with the city.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So,
all right.
Next month.
All right. We'll continue this discussion.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next, board officer elections. So, from last month, so Susan was mentioned about being treasurer, Russ secretary, Theron vice president, and I put my name in for president. This is still open if anybody else wants to put their names in for any of it.
Still open before we vote.
Yeah.
So. Don't look over here.
Yeah.
Any people want to be treasurer?
I'm
ready.
No.
Yes.
You sure?
I'm sure. Yeah, I've seen enough numbers every day. I'm good.
You don't want me to be
that.
All right. So then.
So then we vote. How do we do this?
Make a motion that we approve the nominations as presented, with Darren Crawford as president, Darren Garcia as vice president, Russ Walter as secretary, and Susan Chacon as treasurer.
Second.
Roll call.
Roll call.
Okay. Garcia.
Yes.
Millen.
Yes.
Reifstep.
Yes.
Schumacher.
Yes.
Schimpf.
Yes.
Walter.
Yes.
Chacon.
Yes.
Crawford.
Yes.
And Forrestal.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. Another year. Okay. Okay. So then next, schedule staff in service day in September. It's a request to close the library for a day. So could you talk about that?
Sure. So we would like to schedule a staff in-service day for Friday, September 24th, for staff to for professional development day. Our Prairie Cat Users Group is having a virtual hug. They call it a hug day, and they'll be having speakers throughout the day. So we thought this would be a
hug day.
Hug day.
Was that stand for?
Prairie Cat Users Groups.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. So we thought we could review some of those as a group. And then we could even do other, we could do a walkthrough safety tour and revisit the emergency procedures, as we should do yearly. Fire exits, extinguishers, AEDs. And even if there's time, we can do instruction on technology,
okay,
e-books, and the library app, remote printing, and troubleshooting.
Especially for all the, for some of the new staff members that we have.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a good refresher for all.
All. Okay. So we have a motion. Motion to approve Friday, September 24th, as an in-service staff day. Closing the library.
Second.
Roll call.
Millen.
Yes.
Reifstep.
Yes.
Schumacher.
Yes.
Schimpf.
Yes.
Walter.
Yes.
Chacon.
Yes.
Crawford.
Yes.
Forrestal.
Yes.
And Garcia.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Approved. So now, next, last on the list is approve the tutor policy. This was developed in the policy committee. I hope everyone's had a chance to take a look at it. Do you want to go over?
Well, we didn't have policies at all, so this is the policy that we are adopting for the library. The committee went over it. We met twice, and it's for the board to present to you so that we can vote and have this policy in place, so that we can have tutoring available or allowing within the library.
Isn't there another part of the library policy that says that no part of the library can be used for making money?
Yes, it's all in here, so we have to read this.
In the prohibitions at the bottom.
It's all
you can't,
right.
The money doesn't
exchange here.
Yeah, we're not exchanging.
The tutors are still using the library space for making money. And my
if it's available.
So my understanding was always that that wasn't allowed.
Correct. It wasn't.
So we're redoing that whole policy then.
The tutor policy that is in our in here currently is two bullet points.
Two sentences.
Tutoring is allowed in the library under the following conditions. Tutors may not use the facility as a business. No payment for service is permitted. Tutors must not interfere with library service. So we're doing away with that and replacing it with us.
It still has the same verbiage. Mm-hmm. Tutors are says under the prohibitions. If you read there, the following uses are prohibited in library space: buying, selling, advertising, trading products, compensation, so forth. They can't publish, distribute, advertise letters identifying library as their place of doing business or apply library sponsorship of their activities, and no exchange of money can take place between the students and tutors while in the library.
And the room is a, it's, if the rooms aren't even available, I mean, there's, then you know, it doesn't happen. So the person has to see if there's even a room available at the time that they would like, and they're only limited to 2 hours.
And Shelley did some external benchmarking, and there's other libraries like Oswego that is currently, that had to adopt because they saw that was happening within the library, correct, Shelley?
Yeah. Oswego Library has a tutor policy in place, but they also provide spaces in the library, quiet spaces for that type of environment as well.
And so we are trying to meet the needs of our community as well as have the space available if it's needed. Not saying it's going to happen all the time. Go ahead.
They don't have to use the study room. They can use any part of the library for tutoring.
So it's not just if the space is available, because there's all.
For us, it's the space if it's available, right? You're talking about Oswego.
No, here.
Oh, here?
Yeah. They can use the study rooms.
Oh, I thought we were only talking about study rooms.
No. They can use other spaces. I mean, they're coming to the library and they're meeting, and there's a space, a table. We have tables and
out of the way tables.
Yes, in the back.
In the back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Out in front of the administration area.
Yes, mm-hmm. Out in the back. And so it's just having a policy. We're adopting a policy to help meet the needs of our community.
So can other people who earn money meeting with people one-on-one then also use...
But here's the thing. We don't know that they're earning money. How do we know that?
Yeah, as long as you keep that part of it out of the library.
We don't know. Anybody can come into this library and sit down together, and we wouldn't even know if they're a tutor or not.
Right, we don't expect the staff to police. Mm-hmm.
We don't want to ask their business what they're doing in the library. We want them to come into the library and
utilize
the community space.
Yes.
They just can't.
Exchange. If they see something, then that's different.
Can I comment? You know, I used to work for the school district, and I knew a lot of teachers, and that was a big sore point here.
Yes.
That they could not come in here.
Exactly.
And they would end up going for Oswego.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need to keep in mind that even if they are exchanging money, some of our teachers really need that extra money. Mm-hmm. And they're not doing the tutoring. I mean, all the teachers I knew were tutored were doing it for the best for the children, but of course they made some extra money, and the teachers that did it, I know, needed the money.
Right. And I tutor. And I tutor a girl that's a twin, and her sister is advanced, and I'm working with her on phonics and reading. And so to go to her house was not an option because her twin was there, and it would be, like, awkward.
Yes.
So she comes to my house, and that's not perfect for me, but I wasn't able to come here. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a great place to be able to tutor.
I think this is an excellent opportunity. I think that we should really adopt this.
We don't see what goes on. We want our library to realize we want to be available to our community. Mm-hmm. So if this is going to be a policy that assists our community, our teachers, our students, mm-hmm. our school district, I think it's a policy that we should adopt.
Yeah.
And with our new rhetoric, that would be even better.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, for instance,
okay,
if I wanted to do somebody's tax return on my laptop in the library,
go for it.
Using this policy, I could do that.
No.
Because I was always told no.
That's not tutoring.
That's not tutoring.
Okay.
We need another policy for
business.
Remote work.
Yeah. Okay. But that's not tutoring.
I was always told no under the tutoring policy.
Okay.
Because there was a chance that I could earn money, mm-hmm. even though I wasn't, but that was always the answer.
But is that different than someone else just coming here to work?
Right.
Or is that, I mean, that's not tutoring, so it wouldn't fall under the tutoring policy, but you can come here and do your work if you're in a different line of work, so why couldn't you do that?
We've never had a policy that identified remote work.
But then now we're becoming police, though.
Done in the library.
I mean, I feel like, by calling out all these different things, I feel like we're policing. We don't know why everyone comes to use the library. Mm-hmm. We just don't.
Yeah.
You want to say something?
I mean, I think the prohibition is more against advertising the service in the library. Say, I don't do your taxes at the library, whereas if you're simply doing someone's taxes,
it's a space.
Nobody would
know. It's a public
that's
space.
Okay. Right. That is not how it was explained to me.
Am I wrong? Sure. That's might have been my experience in other libraries, right?
Yeah, I mean, nobody should just go up and say, hey, what are you doing?
Right.
What are you doing? What are you doing? Yeah.
I think the part of it is, like, sometimes we offer a little bit too much information. Just, may I use the study room for 2 hours? Is there availability? That's all people need to know, right? Mm-hmm. They don't need an explanation as to really why you're using it. So maybe that's why you were told, well, no.
I'm not going to ask why they're
right. It's not
unless you're offering that information, then they're saying, well, we really have a policy that says you can't do that if you're doing it for money. Well, sure, I understand. But otherwise, can you just use the study room available? So,
Unless there's a safety. Unless there's a safety issue, that's when the employees and staff members get involved. But as far as conducting and how our patrons come in and use our library, we want them to use our library. Wanted to love their library.
Well, for saying a no, if we have a no, a don't ask, don't tell policy, so do we need to update it?
When I was at Denver Public Library, there was a real problem with people operating businesses out of the library. I mean, they would have their clients come, and it became so they didn't have overhead anywhere else. Because they operated their business in the library. That was not permitted. That's different from tutoring. Mm-hmm. It's operating your business.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there's a big difference. And tax issues, that was when it was the most common time of year. You might have 10, 20 people in there with their own little business tables set up. And so they had to have a policy.
But if we're having a don't ask, don't tell policy, then why do we need a whole... I mean, doesn't that cover it? Don't exchange money in the library, don't advertise.
It's here. Yeah, it's just right here.
But I think the two bullet points covers it.
I think it's important to make a change, and like Jackie said, a lot of teachers here were put out that they couldn't come, and I think it's important to put the change in writing, and then to put it out to teachers to say... You can use the library to tutor. You just can't exchange money on library property.
Yeah.
Very simply.
Mm-hmm. Or advertise.
Yeah.
Advertise.
Yeah. Yes.
So I think this is a better replacement, especially, you know, it calls out other things in it too, you know, like unattended children and stuff like that. But I think this is really...
Which is a rule anyway.
Right.
I mean,
but it's still good to have a better policy,
right.
I think. And I think it really benefits the community. It benefits the kids. You know. So I'm for it. And I'll make a motion that we adopt the tutor policy as the new tutor policy as it is right here.
Second.
Third.
Give me some
more.
Roll call.
Okay. Reifstek?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Shim?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
And Millen?
Yes.
Thank you.
Great.
And I just want to say, I know that our staff members, they kind of know who comes in and out the library and know the regulars. So if it was something that was unusual, they would know. They would kind of figure it out. So.
All right.
I will send everyone a new copy for their books, but I'm going to have to take this one out and kind of reshift around. So I'll have it at the next board meeting for you guys, and I'll pass them out.
Okay, great.
Thank you,
Charlie. All right. There's no need for executive session, so we're adjourned.
I was just saying that we need some kind of policy that says remote work type policy in the days of COVID. or you may not want to work in your house, but you want to come in and use like a study room to do your work.
Right. Oh. It's against the law.
Following the study room policy.
Yeah.
So, we can't really talk about them in their work. If they come in to use the library, they come to use the library.
Okay.
I mean, I go all the time to use the library.
Well, because I was not having fun.
It's another policy.
I haven't been.